Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome, 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 folks. Resurrected Republic, RTR Truth Media Radio. And with me today is my co-host, Rachel Tobias, who I'm courting to try and get to be a regular co-host of mine, if I can. Welcome to the show, Rachel.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really an honor, so thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome to have you. Like-minded people that are, I feel like we're kind of living in the movie Idiocracy these days, you know. As a conservative-minded person who is an independent, I don't ascribe myself to any governmental political party or group. It's really amazing to me that Twitter exploded today. For those of you who haven't heard, I'm sure many of you have, that Jeffrey Epstein has been rearrested in New York for, imagine that, child trafficking. Mm-hmm. Well, this kind of and this is where Rachel and I kind of were mingling in Twitter. We were having these conversations with people, but you know, these folks that are just in it for Trump, no matter what, it's almost like the Israel First. There's an Israel right or wrong, well, Trump right or wrong. You know, it amazes me how people can, with the exact same evidence that there is that Clinton's association with Epstein was absolute. We know that was a connection. And conservatives are so quick to let everyone know about Clinton's association with Epstein, but when it comes to Trump, it's like they go out to lunch. Their brain goes out to lunch, and they don't realize that there's probably more connections there involving Trump than there is with Epstein. And what I mean by that is that even some of at least one of the girls at Mar-a-Lago was recruited into this little harem of victims, essentially. So we know that both, let's make comparative, both Clinton and Trump both rode the Lolita Express. Both mm-hmm. Clinton and Trump were friends with Epstein. And in fact, I've had people on Twitter, and this is what kind of blew my mind. Where was that tweet? The one person said, President Trump created this spotlight for all this to be exposed. Just because you know people doesn't make you guilty by association.
Oh, right.
Right? Okay, so let's look at the association. When I just, I was just digging into the, in New York City, Epstein, his place in Epstein on the Upper East Side, he had this house guy, this houseman, his name was Juan Alessi, right? And Alessi testified that Trump would come over to Epstein's house for dinner. And that the Alessi's, this is the same houseman that released Epstein's little black book, which he stole from Epstein, I believe, in 2004. Now, in that book, Donald Trump has listed 14 phone numbers, including emergency numbers, car numbers, and numbers to Trump's security guard and houseman, which is a very similar allegation that was made about Bill Clinton, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at Clinton and Trump and their association with Epstein, conservatives they'll hear it and they'll be on the rooftops talking to us about the Clinton Association, but I've had, out of these apologetics, I guess, that I get from the Trump crowd is, oh well, it was only a social connection. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. it was only a social connection. Okay, what does that mean? Then the other one was that, well, just a couple photographs of Trump and Epstein, that doesn't mean anything. These are these false arguments. Look, I'm about principles, mm-hmm. principles over party, principles over politics. What is your position on all this?
So there's a couple of things I want to address. So first of all, I'm sure we can agree that if only Jeff Sessions were the head of the DOJ, I think that would just resolve everything completely. I'm just teasing, right? You know, trust that. We had a good man when we had him. I think it is certainly suspicious, to say the least, of Trump being on these flight records, of being associated with him. And I really think that just Trump coming out with the quote of what he said of Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, he loves his women young and he really enjoys his social life. To me, that does allude to quite a lot more. And I don't think it's just a random connection. And I don't think it's just guilt through association only. Common sense, at least to me, would dictate that there are certainly deeper connections here as much as there are with the Clintons. And I do think that this does become a cult of personality when people refuse to look at their candidate, the person that they really connect to, and do not hold them accountable for everything that they claimed that they would. There were a lot of things that Trump said when he became president. He's going to build a wall and he's going to put Hillary in jail. And, you know, he sort of approached everything as if he were a conservative. And we really know he's just a New York Democrat. Yep. And that New York is really not the hub of the most moral or justice place. If you think quite a bit of corruption currently, in, including this case is going on with New York, you have, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it, that cult, the NX, is it NXIM?
Oh, NXIM, NXIM.
There's the NXIM cult, I believe, is in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
There's that continuing case, and then there was, I think, rural parts of New York. There was the NYPD.
And then Roger Stone is knee deep and all that, too, yeah.
There's also the NYPD that sat on Anthony Weiner's laptop that had child pornography on that.
There's what a name, what a name for so. Oh, by the way, when I was going through the FBI files and the FOIAs on Weiner. What a name for this guy, right? But when I was going through that, he was actually suspected of manufacturing child porn, not just sexting. That was what he got charged with, and we see this happen all the time. They'll either charge these guys or convict them on lesser charges than what they're really involved with. I just wanted to throw that out there. It was a video I did that was one of the first videos that Brian Young jumped on and shared of my content, because I couldn't believe it. Nobody was talking about it. It wasn't in the press. Nobody in the press was making mention of the child porn manufacturing.
I think what tends to happen and is what is happening now with Jeffrey Epstein is when so much of the public eye becomes focused on a figure, it's much harder to hide the things they've done. But what they'll do, and even in this case, is they know the extent of which he's going to be charged. You know, this is trafficking, which I guess this is stemming back to the early 2000s. And I think that not everything is really shown into the media until it becomes so hard to hide. That's when people get cued in to everything that's going on, is when it becomes impossible. And to me, there really is, it's hopeful to hear that he's going to be arrested for sex trafficking, but simultaneously, we have to remember that there's so much evidence against Epstein that he's going to become the fall guy. I'm not saying he's not responsible for his actions. I'm just saying if there was true justice, Epstein would be this epicenter of a system that would take down both the left and the right. You have Dershowitz, you have Acosta, you have a bunch of people associated with this, where if there was true justice, the whole system would come down.
Yes!
That's the truth.
And Acosta, that you just mentioned. And this is another point that I was making with some of these folks on Twitter. It was like, you can't just dismiss, Trump and a couple photographs and making a couple comments. Okay, if that was it. But Trump literally appointed this guy to a cabinet position who literally got Jeffrey Epstein 13 months in the Palm Beach County Jail, where he reported sometimes and then he could leave to go home sometimes, instead of years in prison for trafficking. Why would Trump? My question is this: if Trump was not at all complicit, if he had nothing to do with any of it, why on God's green earth would you reward somebody who gets a guy like this off on with such a light sentence? Why would you appoint him to a cabinet position? To me, that's a reward. That's a reward for doing a job well done. Now, if your job well done is your career, well, then so be it. But this is immediately, while this was taking place. To me, it hurts me. It's like a kick. I was saying on Twitter, it's like literally like a kick in the colunes for me to have to stand against somebody who's leans at least overtly in the public conservatively, as opposed to what we may be facing in the next election. But I can't do the lesser of two evils thing. I just can't do it.
If you want to hear something that will even more enrage you, I believe Titus Frost reported that Jeffrey Epstein recently bought another island. I'm serious. Which is crazy to me. Which is absolutely insane, because we know if anyone did any of these things remotely at a local level, you know, they would be put away in prison for life. So how is it that this billionaire gets to basically walk free or on some kind of probation? And there's no way, at least to me, that Trump couldn't have known about this at all, having known Jeffrey for at least 20 years and been on those flight logs and quoting about him. And I think that people that really look up to Trump do need to put their ego aside and do need to think about first principles and think, is this someone that really represents these leader and conservative values? Or is this someone who's not going to really be able to help because of everyone being connected? It would take down the entire system. I do know people who did vote for Trump specifically because they thought Trump would somehow be this outside force that would take down the system. But it really isn't like that. He's just here to advance this New World Order agenda and to help Israel and to basically facilitate smoothing things over so that it appears that we have this America First mentality when we really don't. How can we ever have an America First mentality when we still have a Federal Reserve banking system that basically enslaves people? I mean, even if more people are employed, the fact that you have this, you know, welfare system and you've got this country that's in so much debt and you've got even more mass surveillance, and also Trump's position on WikiLeaks and Julian Assange and throwing them under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when one could argue that that helped get him elected.
Of course it did. Of course it did. It not just helped him get elected, but massive popular appeal. Because he was all about using that WikiLeaks information when it suited, you know, the agenda. But now, you know, the United States has taken this position against journalists, and I don't care what people think about Assange. Some people think he's this, that, CIA. Look, I don't have any evidence for that. You know what I do have evidence for is that people sent him information that showed, that proved beyond a reasonable doubt of government, corruption. On levels that and that information, by the way, keep in mind, none of it has been disproven.
Yes.
So we're not talking about false information that this guy published. But what did he do? He published the information. That's all WikiLeaks essentially is, is a very careful, calculated publisher. So look at the precedent that they're setting by allowing somebody like WikiLeaks and Assange to be prosecuted. And for Trump if he were authentic, he would have gone right to the podium and he said, look, this guy was given information. He published the information. He's not the one that solicited it. He didn't go in and steal it. It's not like he went in and hacked to get the information. This was information that was given to him that he published. But what they're trying to do is that they're trying to associate the actual taking of the information and attribute that to Assange too, but they can't. He didn't do it.
And whatever became of the Podestas, right?
Tony
and John Podesta, and remember how Tony, I believe, had to step down from his company.
Yeah.
And whatever became of that, it was certainly WikiLeaks that helped wake me up. I'm not saying I know everything, but it really.
Yeah, I wonder how many cheese pizzas with mushrooms it took for them to get up after that.
Came from the left, and I was a huge Bernie supporter, and then the WikiLeaks emails came out, and I actually read those, and I started to see some really weird messages in there and some coded language to where it made me question politicians. And when I saw politicians, especially Democrats, talking about, you know, voters in a very derogatory, racist way, it kind of really shone a light and made me realize the way that what they really truly think of us as just a demographic. And that was horrifying. You know, to see that lack of authenticity. So that really woke me up to the system as a whole. I'm not just here to bash Trump. I'm just here to point out that it's dangerous to believe in people without questioning them at all and making apologies for them. And I think part of that has to do with it's difficult to know that we're being lied to and that we've been tricked, because it makes us feel like we're stupid or it's hurtful. But
I'd like to go on record for saying that the momentary when he first won the election, I did somewhat as a conservative somewhat celebrate the defeat of Clinton. But I'd like to go on record for saying that I have never been sold. Look, I come from New Jersey. I'm very, very familiar with Trump. As a matter of fact, we worked as contractors as selling our product, which I hate to say this. This is really this. I didn't even think of it like this. My uncle had a pizzeria, right? It was called Mamma Mia's, right? We used to make 1,000 pizzas at a time for the Taj Mahal. And you know, we would make them and they would freeze them and then they would sell them in their buffet. I never even put the pizza thing together. It kind of freaks me out a little bit now anyway. But still, so, I mean, we did business with Taj Mahal. And I've been from New Jersey. I'm very familiar with Trump and his activities. He's been a New York City liberal for a long time who slowly changed that flavor so that he could run on the Republican ticket. You remember a lot of Republicans said, listen to what Ron Paul said about him. Ron Paul called it exactly what it was. But now, one of the biggest reasons I go after Trump is because, I mean, you look at this good cop, bad cop thing that he's doing with Iran right now. So Iran shoots down this unmanned drone, right? And the planes are headed that way, and you know he turns and he asks how many people will be killed. 150 people will be killed, and he said, "Well, that's just disproportionate. I can't do that." And he's taking that position. He's taking that you know, that resonate with libertarians or with people that are anti-neocon. So he that resonates with them. So and he's lost a lot of them because of this whole business with Israel and Iran and Syria. So hold on, let me finish here. So, but at the same time, you know, they're taking, well, you have to stand up to John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, these people that he appointed. So who's really doing the appointing? Is it really President Trump that's appointing Bolton and Pompeo, who are liar warmongers? And by the way, Bolton, who received $40,000 for giving a 15-minute speech. He received $40,000 from a radical Marxist Islamic anti-Iran regime group. These people are Marxist. These guys have no problem. No problem teaming up with the worst of the worst to go to take out the PNAC agenda that we all know, which was the 7 countries in 10 years.
General, that there was a general who said that he was told they wanted to take over those 7 countries.
Wesley Clark.
And he asked why, and they said that's what he was told. That was it.
Yeah, that's it. That's the plan. That's
a crazy video to me. I love that video. Absolutely. And I recall, like, some people I've known who voted for Trump was specifically because they thought that Trump was anti-war and that he would not go to war with Iran. Like, no matter what else, that was the bottom line for them.
Yep.
And also, I want to remind you that sanctions on countries
is an
economic act of war.
Absolutely.
So more than one way to attack a country. I know that the U.S. has every desire to attack Iran, partly because Iran wants to create its own currency and become independent from the fiat system.
Yeah. And not only is an act of war that punishes a nation, but it punishes the innocent. The people that it really come down on are the people.
Yes. Right?
And it drives up inflation. It devalues their currency. It has an enormous impact on the regular everyday folks that have nothing to do with government. Anyway, we have to break for a commercial. We'll be right back, folks. RTR Truth Media, Resurrect the Republic on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Huge.
For you and me. Welcome to the base. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Father of the moon, which built my sails, crossed the sea of tears. With no provision, but no face, Lord, the straits of fear.
Welcome back. Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media, with Rachel Tobias and Tom Lacavera-Stewart. Hello, everyone, on this beautiful Sunday. If you guys would like to call and comment, I'm sure this would be interesting. 1-800-313-9443, please feel free to do so. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear what you think about this. And look, folks, I don't want anyone to think that I know that there's a lot of Trump supporters that listen to Republic, this is really a hard thing for me. I would love to have a conservative president that I could get behind. I think that Ron Paul was our last chance at having somebody with the mindset that at least that I can understand. We have seen these neocons basically take over. I don't think that there's been a more pro-Israel president in the history of the United States than Donald Trump. I mean, the moving the embassy to Jerusalem, basically annexing. And here's this thing with Genie Oil. Let's look at what really is going on in the West Bank, right? Let's really look at it, why they're annexing this land. When you look at who's in control of Genie Oil, which is Rothschild and Cheney, it seems like Trump is capitulating to all the neoconservative Trotskyite warmongers. And then, you know, he has this, the election's coming up. And like I said, this good cop, bad cop thing where, you know, when I first heard what happened with the drone and his reaction to how many people will die, 150, pull back, it's not proportionate, it's a disproportionate attack. At first, it got me. Rachel, it pulled me in. I was like, hey, that's really cool. Oh, wait a minute.
my first thought was, I recalled like the USS Liberty, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, like, yep, every war being started with either a false flag or a hoax or some sort of initiation that didn't fit the mainstream narrative. Yep. And so this is a really interesting time to be alive because you have a few things you need to keep in mind. So first of all, we have this wide access internet information age where people can, you know, they're being told things by the media, but now they have alternative media. They have your show. They have ways of staying in tune and connected with each other more than ever before and spreading information and being able to look at the past and say, hey, it seems like every war was started upon false premises of some kind.
Yes.
So this is interesting. Second, you have the rise in cryptocurrencies. So now you have, even though the U.S. is trying to put sanctions on Iran and destroy them economically, you do have people who have access to alternative forms of currency that really does empower them. So that's interesting. So we have these variables, I would argue, that we haven't really seen before at the same time in history. So those are some interesting things to kind of keep note on. That doesn't mean that the New World Order isn't progressing. That doesn't mean that communism isn't progressing. That just means there's a lot of things here on the grand chessboard to keep in mind of.
Well, you know, I look at communism and capitalism as being like being kind of like the ism version of the right-left paradigm, because what we have people fighting for capitalism, and essentially, I think that people misidentify. What I call a free market is not what I call capitalism, because you have both sides have their own flavor of wealth redistribution. And either corporate welfare or social welfare, it's all redistributive. It's not so even the capitalistic system that we have today, you know, it's not certainly not a free market. Anyway, we have a caller on the line, Pat in Fort Worth. Pat, you're on.
Hello,
Pat.
Well, can you hear me? Okay,
I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. I think that we are armchair presidents, and I really don't think we're qualified. If you study Trump and you find out, I didn't like him either. I couldn't believe Paula White would go on a speaking tour with him and a whole bunch of more people on how to make money, you know, a whole page full of people. Yeah. But I listened to her lately, and God was in it. He was in it. That's all it is to it. A man has changed. You can't hold him to his military bad language upbringing, you know, military school is bad. You can't hold him to the past.
Well,
Jeffrey Epstein, he may be one of the 100,000 secret indictments that have you heard of the 100,000 secret indictments?
Oh, yeah, I've heard of the whole trust the plan thing, indictment.
Yeah. Right. The mass.
Well, Hillary has nobody. I don't see Hillary getting her justice. I don't see hardly anybody getting their justice. So,
well, that's kind of my point. Trump made it clear that if he got into office, that she'd be in jail.
Maybe there's a time that he knows better.
If you simultaneously support these indictments and support Trump and say, well, he is in charge, then why isn't Hillary in jail?
No, I'm not saying I'm not saying that. If he does something wrong, I call the White House. You know, there's a comment line.
That the
So what you're saying is you think that Trump, you think that Trump has changed. You think that he is that for some reason that he's become an actual real conservative with conservative values and all of that. You think that he's with us and he's fighting for us? Is that what you think?
Well, before he was in business, you know, and that's what people do. If you don't want to hold it against obtain companies for giving to Planned Parenthood and not use them at all, they're mistaken. You know, they think it gives ladies breast exam that when it's the number one abortion provider in the whole country.
Yeah. Well, but Trump didn't have a problem with abortion for all those years that he was in New York City as a liberal. And I can understand people say, well, he's changed. No, the problem is if you seek a nomination or you seek support from a conservative base, you have no choice but to change.
Does that mean that the conservative base is larger than the Democrats think? Because we know they're card-carrying communists. That I don't know how many of them. It was about 70, about 12 or 15 years ago. And they talk like they're all card-carrying communists, or else
do conservatives. So does a good portion of the what has become modern day conservatism or neoconservatism. They're essentially Trotskyites.
Democrat.
Who was Trotskyite? Trotskyite was a Marxist. He just took his ideas went in a little bit different of a direction than Stalin, which ended up getting him assassinated.
Okay, well, killing babies.
Stalin.
You're telling me it's okay to go ahead and pass a law like they do in New York to kill the baby after the boy? Listen, I know what's going to happen. They're not. There is no end to murder. There's no end to it, and there's no end to who's married. I mean, there are jokes out there that are funny, but they're not funny. A guy in California married his dog. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the whole world's losing its cotton pick. As soon as they started descending down the slippery slope of accepting things that aren't real. You know, like people can, a man can identify as a woman or look. I don't care what you want to identify. You can identify as a fluffy unicorn for all I care. But my problem is where they try and demand that we recognize that insanity. That's where I have a problem with it. My problem. Look, there are people that are mentally ill. People that think they're Napoleon. Hey, you know what? Go to Waterloo. I don't care. But for you to sit there and tell me that I have to now call you Napoleon because you have identified as Napoleon is that's insane.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. But it's further than that. Listen to me.
Yeah.
I can't make anybody believe this, but I'm a scientist. I could tell you my background, and you'd know that I think that way. And
okay.
When you see something one day and then you see another one happen right thereafter, or somebody pray that one away and then it'll happen a little bit later down the line, you get the message. But it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible that God is supposed to, we're supposed to call for justice and judgment. And the people that are calling for it wouldn't want it if they got it.
Yeah, you know, I'm calling for justice and judgment. I want justice for people that. Pat, this is getting a little bit muddy with three people. Thank you very much for your call. Would you like to say anything in closing?
No, but I'm saying that. How do you know that Guatemala, El Salvador, Iran, Mexico, and Cuba are not going to bomb us with Piper Cub type planes all simultaneously and cause all this confusion? We're not going to be looking at Piper Cub planes.
Assured mutual destruction.
That's funny. Well, thank you very much, Pat. Thank you very much for your Pat, thank you very much for your phone call. I really appreciate it. I never really thought of it like that, but So, Rachel, okay. What do you think? You know, how do we know that, that Iran and Venezuela and Guatemala will not attack the United States?
I think, in a sense, we don't. In that, it reminds me of 1984 Oceania, where the Oceania were told that there's this massive war going on. And I'm not dismissing that there aren't casualties or people getting hurt, casualties, but I am saying that it is difficult for us to know 100% without actually being on the ground there of what is going on. And therefore, we are subject to the whims of whatever the mainstream is telling us. And we know we can't trust the mainstream, especially after being told weapons of mass destruction in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
So, like I said, we're at this age of information where at least people do know the past, even if the commies try to rewrite the past as much as they can. But I think information does travel much faster than it can be rewritten, which is a good thing. And I think that the state does try to replace God, so to speak. The state tries to be a God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Justice is not going to be delivered through the state. And thereby, justice will not be delivered through Trump. Because even if Trump has legitimately changed, the way the system is constructed is his power is limited. And that's exactly what's going to happen, is people are going to call and they're going to say, well, you know, either he tried to do something good, but his hands were tied, or, you know, that's what they're going to say, when ultimately every solution seems to involve the state somehow, even though the state is the number one source of all these problems to begin with. You know, they're never
government is the problem.
Yeah, government is slavery, essentially. Slavery of the mind, slavery emotionally, slavery spiritually. That's what it is. It's this belief in authority. It's this belief that someone is going to come and save us from ourselves. And that is something that has been exploited for eternity.
Rachel, I'm getting this feeling. This feeling is that you're not a real big fan of government. Would that be a correct assessment?
As you know, I'm not a scientist, but I do think that that's accurate. Don't have a degree from the state to verify that, but I have an inkling that that's correct.
Yeah. Oh, I would like to announce to people, before I forget this just popped into my mind as I was looking across my board here. For those of you that aren't aware, True News, Rick Wiles, they're working really, really, really working hard on a documentary like no other that has come before it regarding the massacre of the USS Liberty. I really want people to check out True News and check out their most recent July 4th presentation. They're gonna share a little bit of that. And one of our own man I highly respect, Phil Turney, which is a survivor of the Liberty, a man that I've worked with in the past. We've had him on the show and we've collaborated. Man, I so highly respect. He's a big part of it, along with the other survivors. So I just wanted to make mention of that before I forget it. And also, No More News, Adam Green, he just did an interview with a fellow called Duvid.
I saw that.
Oh my God!
I didn't get to see the whole thing, but I.
Oh, I watched the whole thing. It was great.
I do like Adam Green of No More News.
Oh, that's my buddy. That's my buddy.
Yeah,
I watched the whole thing, and this guy was an Orthodox Talmudic Jew, and it was a very civil, one of the most reasonable discussions. And from those discussions, you really can glean a lot of information from them, and you can really you can look at things. I think it's just easier to absorb. Awesome interview, and there was some, and it was Christopher John Bjerknes was a part of that, and Christopher was taking this guy. He asked some really tough questions, and it kind of it led me, you know, as I was watching this, one of these little side video things. Remember the thing I was talking to you about earlier about the gentleman who was giving the modern day definition of what he believed anti-Semitism was?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really interesting. It was only a minute or so. But for those of you that are not familiar with Rachel and her background, Rachel is a voluntarist, basically an anarcho-capitalist, I would think would be probably accurate, right? And she was born and raised in an Orthodox Jewish family, and she's rejected the ideology. She and I agree both on this, is that, you know, every child that's born into this world is a clean slate until they get poisoned with these ideologies, whether it be one that they're born into a culture and that culture programs them with the ideology or not. I think that you and I are both on the same page with that, that just about everybody, you know, everybody born is essentially a blank slate until people poison their minds. So anyway, there was this clip I'm sending over to my producer. I want you guys to hear, and I want us to respond to that in the time that we have left. I think it might take that much time to respond to this, what I consider a serious threat to the First Amendment, which is this wave of anti-Semitism, anti-BDS legislation, and all of that. If the producer, I think it's only a minute or so. Did you get that clip I just sent to you? When we have that up and ready, let me know.
Yeah, I think the new definition of anti-Semitism is anyone who doesn't agree with you. Is that correct?
Well, that would you would think. So anyway, we're getting that ready for you guys. But basically, this guy, he takes the same old position I keep hearing. You know, it's like you can criticize the state of Israel, but the language that he uses is really like people are on thin ice. And, you know, this is the type of language that we heard when the Bolsheviks took over. Is it ready? Is it ready? Oh, I just sent you a clip. If you could bring that up, please. It's just a minute 30, short clip. Let me know when you have that ready. Yeah, go ahead. So, all right. So when we have that up and ready, basically the same old story is that, you know, it's okay to criticize the state of Israel, but when you start criticizing Israel's right to exist, well, define it, right to exist. If I were to go and steal a house and live there for 40 years,
right?
Well, yeah, now I've been living there for 40 years, but is my right to maintain that house, is that still valid? Is that valid at all? I mean, you have Irgun terrorists that basically stole this land from the inhabitants and pushed them off into these little zones. Anyway, this latest incarnation of anti-Semitism, listen to this guy's explanation.
Those who traffic in that kind of language are on very thin ice. My understanding of anti-Semitism is the following. Anti-Semitism is not simply hating the other, the Jew as other. Anti-Semitism works a little bit differently. What anti-Semitism does is turn the Jews, the Jew, into the symbol of whatever it is that a given civilization defines as its most loathsome qualities. And so, under Christianity before the Holocaust and Vatican II, the Jew was the Christ killer. His blood be upon our heads and upon our children. That's forever. Under communism, the Jew was the capitalist. Under Nazism, the Jew was the race polluter, the ultimate race polluter. Now we live in a different civilization. Now we live in the civilization where the most loathsome qualities are racism, colonialism, apartheid. And lo and behold, the greatest offender in the world today, with all the beautiful countries of the world, is the Jewish state. The Jewish state is the symbol of the genocidal, racist, apartheid state. That's Israel. That's the Jewish state. An Israeli political philosopher named Yaakov Talmon once put it this way. The state of the Jews has become the Jew of the states. What that means to me is criticism of Israel is not anti-Semitism. criticism of Israel's existence, denying Israel the right to exist, calling Israel the Zionist entity, that is anti-Semitism. That is a classical continuity of thousands of years of symbolizing the Jew. So using that kind of language places you in very uncomfortable company. That kind of language can come today from the far left. It can come from white supremacists. It can come from Islamist extremists. It can come from many sources. But all of those groups converge on one idea. The Jew remains humanity's great problem.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to respond first, and then I want you to kick in. Now.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. So basically what he's saying is that for some reason, over the course of hundreds and hundreds of years, mm-hmm. 109 countries of all of these European societies woke up one day at different times in history and said, I don't like those guys with the funny hats. They got to go. That's it. It was an unreasonable, unrational, mm-hmm. based on no, just, I don't like the little curls that you have in your hair, and I don't like the funny little hats, and you got to go. That's it. Now, this is basically what those who are trying to push this concept of anti-Semitism want the world to believe, that the Jews were just persecuted simply because they were different and because they excelled in a few areas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this, by the way, I left a comment.
That people were just jealous of them.
Yes. I left a comment. This guy, his YouTube channel is called Yossi, Y-O-S-S-I, Klein, K-L-E-I-N, Halevi, H-A-L-E-V-I. And this is his YouTube channel. Usually I wouldn't put people in that kind of blast, but I went and I made a very well thought out comment that took me time to culminate and put together, and I posted it, and of course the next day I go back wanting to see what his response was, mm-hmm. and to hear what he had to say, and of course I was not shocked to find that my comment was removed and I was blocked from being able to comment on his channel. So I then took I don't know how many people are familiar with Gab out in the audience there, but
I love Gab. Yeah,
I just created a Gab account, and I have now what they call the Dissent browser, which is works with Gab. So basically what that means is when you're blocked from making comments on things on social media or articles or that, you can go to Dissent and you can dissent this. And basically what that means is it posts with the video and then with your comment, and it's not able to be censored by anyone. So then you can create a conversation even if people are trying to shut you down. Now, I would like to read to you at least a portion of my response. You want to hear that, Rachel?
Of course.
All right. So my response to this guy, I think, was reasonable in that I was coming from it from a perspective of what other people experience and how they react. So this my comment was, this sounds to me, this video sounded to me like the same old complaint from a guilty party who claims that everyone else is wrong and that they alone are right. Here's a thought for this gentleman. The ideological beliefs of Jews that have remained the same for thousands of years, but the Talmud and its supremacist teachings contribute to a pattern of behavior that many people in many civilizations find morally repugnant. As well, allow me to share just a very few verses from the Talmud that, by the way, for the Goyim to read from, it states that it is a crime punishable by death. That's a big problem in and of itself. You have people that move into your country and they have this religious doctrine that they live by, but if you read from it, according to them, written within the verses of their books, it's a crime punishable by death. Anyway, and for apparent good reason, I would say, because when they find out things like this, let me share just the A number one cause that I think that causes what they call anti-Semitism, what I call is a reasonable response from somebody who reads something that's absolutely bat crap crazy.
Mm-hmm.
In Avodah Zarah 26b, Tosefoth, this is the Talmud, it says, even the best of the Goyim should be killed. Now, imagine, picture yourself being a king or a prime minister or a person in a position of power controlling a country, and you have a group of people that have moved into your country, and there's some there's some disgruntled things going on, and you learn that they think that even the best of all of the people that live in your nation, even the best of them, should be killed. What is your reaction going to be?
Yeah, I think people have a little bit of a right to be pissed off. Not only that, but when this person says, oh, hey, you know, you can criticize Israel, but you can't question the legitimacy of its existence, that that's completely wrong. Call me an anti-Semite then, because I'm anti-state.
Yeah, can we kill this break, please? Sorry, thank you. Finish that thought.
Yeah, it's okay if I can say this real fast, but I guess I must be an anti-Semite because I'm anti-state.
But you're Jewish. Does that mean that you're a self-hater?
I mean, again, I don't like any sort of fundamentalist ideology that gives people the illusion that they have the right to oppress other people, and especially by force.
Exactly.
And especially, I don't think that two wrongs make a right. I don't think that Israel has a right to exist. And I think it is absolutely one of the worst states in existence. I don't think it's just a role model of any kind for anyone anywhere. I have no desire to move there. And for me, like I said, I personally identify as an ANCAP. I shockingly identify with the things that I accomplish as an individual. And not
right.
Just
let's, for our audience, you say that word very quickly, and I think that passes them by. ANCAP, what she's saying is anarcho-capitalist. It's it's easier to use in the abbreviation of ANCAP. So basically what you consider yourself as being, and you know, like identifying with any ideology, right? You're not really, you're Jewish by means of birth, but you're an ANCAP, which means you've divorced yourself of the ideology that goes along with that.
I just do want to state again, real fast, no pun intended, but the term Jewish in of itself has multiple meanings, because it's used to identify. I know it sounds silly to go over this, but I think it's important. It's used often to identify a race, an ethnicity, some kind of nationality, and it's because it has multiple meanings. My own personal interpretation of this is I think Jews existed as a tribe, and that probably Old Testament Jews don't really exist today. I think as a race, probably do exist today. If anything, maybe Ethiopians would be authentic Jews. And I think that all the Jews that are haranguing for the state tend to be Ashkenazis, which I call the knockoff handbags of Jews, which would get me killed, but
the carpetbaggers of Jews.
Dude, it's like, because it's basically an old timey tribe that the image of was taken over and just used as like some kind of, you know, free pass to do whatever they want, basically. I don't think that any state is legitimate, and I don't think, like, I think the whole goyim versus Jew concept, it's another divide, so to speak.
Divide and conquer, yeah.
It's exactly. I'm not saying that the threats aren't real. I'm not denying that existence at all. I'm just saying, like, this is why it's so important for people to identify with first principles and not just fundamentalist ideology, because it's the fundamentalist ideology that's so dangerous to begin with. Because, for instance, if people think that the Old Testament is the word of God and that it says in there to conquer and enslave other nations, like, of course people are going to hate anyone that likes the Old Testament. Of course people are going to hate Jews if they have usury laws against people that aren't part of their tribe. I mean, one thing I do respect about Christianity, I don't identify as being a Christian, I'm just, you know, agnostic, doing my thing, truth seeker, whatever, but at least Christianity, I mean, there's the idea that anyone can be saved and converted to Christianity. I don't necessarily believe in Jesus, but I can see, like, people try to connect with other people and try
to
save them.
There is one aspect, fundamental aspect of Christianity that a lot of people don't
they don't, you know, it doesn't come to mind very quickly. But if you compare Judaism, which, mm-hmm. by the way, they don't evangelize. They don't really try and get people to convert. Out of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, there is only one out of the three that basically it's almost like a prerequisite, a requirement for you by your own free choice to accept, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, one of the reasons I think for the foundation of this Christian, what I call the Christian Republic, and why even atheists and people who didn't believe in God, who were among our founders, found it necessary to adopt this tenet, was because the one aspect of Christianity was that you have to. It's by choice. It's your own free. It is literally you must do so voluntarily, and to force you into it would defeat the entire purpose of the tenet of the faith. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, but as I was saying with this is, I don't appreciate this man's argument of no matter what you do, Israel always has to be on the table. That's right. Controlling the argument to begin with. I do think it's an illegitimate state because, like I said, I think every state is illegitimate, especially when states have more rights than people. Then there's right. quite a problem there because a state is comprised of people, and if people don't have individual rights, how the heck can a state have that?
Right. Well, and that was another one of the concepts of the founding of this republic, was that the government essentially received its authority from we the people, and that we the people couldn't grant to the government any more powers or any more rights or privileges than we ourselves retained. I mean, that was kind of the whole point.
Yeah.
That was how we were supposed to keep them in check. But what we were talking about before we went to air was like one of the most evil vocations possibly, I think, on the face of the planet. And that doesn't mean that all lawyers are evil, but, you know, is it lawyers literally are the modern day Pharisees. They and what I call the Talmud, and by the way, I know that we're talking about this little tribe that was taken over, but, you know, even during Jesus' time and before, the Pharisees had the oral traditions, and the oral traditions which became the Talmud. Basically, it's 1,001 ways to lawyer yourself around the Ten Commandments. Literally. Mm-hmm. Literally. Thou shalt not murder? Yeah, but unless.
Right.
You know, and thou shalt not covet? Yeah, but you can only in this search. You know, and when it defines a man. Well, to the Talmud, a man, a true man, is only a Jewish man, because anyone who is not a Jew is a lesser, is either the equivalent of an animal, a beast, or they have
the burden.
Right. So when it says thou shalt not murder, it means thou shalt not murder each other. That, ladies and gentlemen, anti-Semitism is the natural reaction to things like even the best of the Goyim should be killed. Anyway, we ran out of time, darn it. Never enough time today. Folks, Rachel Tobias, yes. Thank you. And we'll be back next Sunday. Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
We are living in an art.